It's time for Blindly Obvious.
Hello and welcome to Blindly Obvious. I'm Tyler with my co-host Jeff, and today we are on the conversation of deposits and withdrawals. Now, certainly you think of, you know, going down to your local bank, putting money in or taking money out. What about more on a, you know, personal relationship we have with our friends, our family, our significant others, and maybe even on a spiritual level with the Holy Spirit? Jeff, what do you think about when you think of deposits and withdrawals?
I think about the exchange that does, or at least used to happen with relationships. Give you an example. Tomorrow morning, wake up and turn over to your lovely wife and go, "Hi, honey. Good morning."
I've probably done that before, actually.
And then have her do the same to you, and then have a discussion. Hey, whose breath do you think smells the worst?
I've got a heightened sense of smell, so I'm not doing that.
I think that sometimes we get into a contest with each other, always accusing the other of being worse than what we are, when sometimes we're just as bad, or sometimes we're the culprit who's the worst.
Oh, I think they have a saying for this. It just comes out the other end.
My poop don't stink.
Yeah. There you go. That's the one.
Or the other one, there's opinions are like armpits.
Everybody has one.
Yeah, and they all stink.
Well, and also in our society, I kind of feel like people are taught or led to believe that you've got to be all in all the time or else you're nothing.
Which is impossible, because who's never been on empty?
It is possible, but I think people try to live by that in general. And as a result, I think by default, you end up on empty.
I think you're a pretty positive person. As I think about it, I think I've seen more days when you're positive, way more positive than you are negative.
I try usually to be that way.
And it's not that I've never seen you in a funk. You know what? Better said, is there's certain situations or subjects that can put you in a funk, but you don't live in a funk.
Yeah, that's fair.
Okay. And I would say arguably me as well. You can put me in a funk. Just bring up certain names or subjects.
And you're like, hold up.
Oh, yeah. We've all got those. And the scary part is when I see couples who have been together for a year, 5 years, 50 years.
5 minutes.
That happens too. They see that person who was the love of their life as being the grind, and they're happy.
Mm.
You know, so what's going on there? What causes people who at one time their relationship was magical. It was sparkling and beautiful, and they were what people envied. And then somewhere along the way, they got bitter. They got cross with each other.
Grew apart.
Yeah. Or
went out of sync.
I would love to be a fly on the wall in their living room as they exchange conversation with each other. And I would dare say, I bet you.
Oh, would you really want to be a fly on everybody's wall?
I would, because not because I get some kind of joy, sick, twisted, you know, happiness out of seeing couples fight, but seeing a dynamic that is at work that happens to us all in every relationship.
I thought you just wanted to get swatted at.
I think it's human nature to be selfish. I think it's human nature to take advantage of people, especially when you're in a low point and you need more. But few of us want to admit when we are at a low place.
Well, and don't, you know, we talked about little differences adding up to make a big difference in terms of our, you know, personal relationships, let's say. So you're talking significant others. If you start to feel that way, or you're at an impasse, or you feel as though you're growing apart, or whatever it may be, I think lack of communication and focusing in on those things to which you're unsatisfied with versus things you are satisfied with, and then foregoing, you know, having a conversation or figuring out the problem together as a team versus making it happen as an individual probably play pretty key roles in those situations.
I think the huge relationship killers are unfulfilled expectations that frankly are unrealistic expectations to begin with. Second is a huge one is communication. and it's not so much what you said, it's what that other person thought you said. And
or sometimes what you didn't say.
Right. true that. You know, another big one would be intimacy. Okay. That would be it. People's love language. And so, okay, let's just be frank. For men, it's probably sex, touch, that experiential. Whereas women, if you ask them, their go-to for affection is probably not going to be sex. It's going to be a hug or...
Yeah, wanting to feel valued and appreciated. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Conversation.
Loved, safe.
Yeah, those things. Nurtured, appreciated. Like their contribution to not just the relationship, but to the home. And because we all bring something to the table.
Sure.
And all of us want to have value in that.
And we definitely do have different love languages.
Absolutely. Yeah. So that those are big ones. But looking at the communication one, how many fights have you had where you were in the middle of the argument only to realize they think you said or meant something you never did?
So it just ends up entirely out of context from
right
what actually was.
And so you don't want to apologize for something you didn't say or mean.
Right.
And so now you're being stubborn too. And so you play into the same thing. And so the fight continues when somebody's just got to be saying, say, hey, look, you know what? I love you.
We got it wrong here.
Yeah. I'm sorry that I said something that conveyed this to you. That is not what I meant.
Well, and you told me you had a... some kind of a video you came across.
Yeah.
And you're going to tell me about. What's that?
Yeah. So this is one of those, especially for communication, it plays a role.
You said you're going to start using this in marriage counseling.
Yeah.
Right?
Usually you hear people say in a marriage, it's 50-50.
Yeah.
And then some will say, no, it's not 50-50. It's each of the persons have to bring 110% to the relationship, which is impossible to do all the time. You know, you can always be an overachiever. And this is advice I used to give, is that you're always trying to outdo each other. In other words, never stop dating each other and putting your best foot forward. You know what I mean? Like,
that's good advice.
It does work. It's very helpful that because what it prevents you from doing is taking advantage of each other.
But some days just got to be matter of fact and say you don't got a best foot.
I mean, look, that the reason why you put the best foot forward is because you got a bad one, right? I mean, the fact of the matter
some
is.
Some days you got two bad feet. Yeah. I heard about your dancing, too, so I know you got
I cannot dance, man. It's, it's a train wreck. No, but this one couple, what she said was what they try and do, and she wasn't pushing this on anybody, but it sounded great. She said that the reality that they found in their relationship is that some days she has bad days and some days he has bad days. And so rather than being mad at what they don't have, you incorporate what they do. And so it looks something like this. They communicate, hey, look, we have this collective problem. We have this bill due, or we have this problem with the kids. We have this issue with the school. We have this problem for work. How are we going to tackle it? And so what they openly discuss is, here's what I've got. Today, I'm having a bad day. I woke up on the frumpy, grumpy side of the bed, and I got 20% that I can contribute. I got $20 for our $100 debt.
And the other person then says, all right, I got you. I'm going to cover the extra 80.
Yes, but the way they convey that matters. It can't be, fine, I'll do it. You sit there on your duff and do nothing, and I'll cover you. I mean, they're going to cover the 80. Or the other says this way, don't worry about it, babe. I got you. I'll cover it. I have you.
Hmm. Knowing that at some point they're going to be on the other side of that and need, in terms of what we're talking here, they're going to need the 80 covered for them.
Absolutely. That compassion, that grace, that mercy that we all at some time need, desperately are looking for that rescue. Why not understand that we're all human and that the person that you're crazy about clearly is in running on empty, needing, of all people, some understanding from you, and to be gracious and compassionate.
Sure.
And just freely, here you go. Why do we do this? Why are sometimes we're having a bad day and you walk into work and so you throw on a smile when you walk into the office, but then when you get back in your car and go home, you put your frumpy grumpy back on because that's how you really feel. Why do we do that to each other? Have you thought about that?
Or better yet, to ourselves.
Yeah. It's like, I have been in a bad mood before and pulled myself out just by saying, you know what? Not today. I ain't doing that.
Not today, Satan. Kick it out. Yeah. Kick it out of there.
Yeah. Now, I can't always do that, but it's like, you know what? Why am I down? Why am I going to be the Debbie Downer?
I think in talking in terms of men, it's kind of been once again taught and pushed to not really show emotion, not really have feelings, not really, you've got to be able to be counted on all the time. I think those are all impossible things. And to think that men don't have emotions and feelings is pretty silly to me.
Oh, yeah.
I just think the only men and women have the same feelings. The only difference is they just express them differently.
Right.
And, but I think to the flip side of that, I think women have kind of been taught that your role as, you know, a wife doesn't really matter. You don't need to be a mother and have kids. That's not really important. You should be career-driven, independent, and successful. I'm not saying that that doesn't work for anyone. I'm not saying that. But I am saying that I don't think most women feel satisfied doing that. I think most women are meant to be moms and motherly and loving and nurturing. And I think most men are meant to be protectors and show their affection and love towards their wives and to want to be dads and raise their children and leave a legacy. I think those are what we've been designed to do.
That could be a whole nother podcast about roles that I think that we've gotten out of. And
but in those roles, I think we both make deposits and take withdrawals.
Well, it's a shared bank account.
Sure.
Yeah. And I think that's where we got to remember is that there are days we all are on empty and there's days we're all full.
How many times in our walk with as believers with God do we take a withdrawal rather than give a deposit? And still we're shown mercy for doing so.
You mean with God?
Yes.
Okay, let's just be straight here. I think most of us are always making withdrawals.
Oh, I think so too.
You know?
I guess what I would consider a deposit, though, with God is, in my own opinion, is if you're doing something right and you're maybe giving a helping hand to somebody that you don't know, a stranger on the street, whatever it may be, I think God would see that as a deposit to his kingdom.
Oh, sure. No, I'm just saying that.
Most of us are taking, I messed that up. I need this.
And then we get mad because, you know, when it comes time for us to make a deposit, we may do it, but we're begrudging. Or
I don't know. Are you sure? I could just keep this. Do I need to give it?
Or we're secretly hoping that, okay, well, I'm going to get some perk out of this.
Sure.
God's going to bless me for doing this. You know what I mean? Like, we're still expecting something back for the little deposit that we made.
I guess I don't believe in the expectation of something back always, but I am a firm believer in the, if you're doing good, good is coming back to you, that you're always taken care of. And I believe if you're acting with ill intent and you're doing evil knowingly and willingly, you're also always going to be taken care of.
Well, sure, there is.
In a way of good, though, but rather in a way of you're gonna be judged and paid for your actions.
All behavior boomerangs, right?
I think
we had a podcast on the boomerang effect. Yep. What blew me away was this woman's wisdom as she talked about how they've operated as a happily married couple who's been through some difficult times. There's seasons for every relationship and what got them through. And listen, someday it wasn't days that her husband had 20%. Sometimes it was a year. You know, it's like, it's a season and you stay with them. What were the vows that you made? Do you remember those vows you made? As long as it's convenient.
Yeah.
As long as you make me happy, as long as it serves my best interest, I will love and cherish you.
Don't grow old and wrinkly.
Right. Yeah. As long as you stay skinny.
That's right.
And make wonderful meals.
All be good.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll have a happy ever after. No, but seriously,
I think it was till death do us part.
In sickness and in health.
Yeah.
What was the other? It's for richer, for poorer.
Well, that's back to the humble thing. You know, we talked a couple weeks ago. I told a story about interacting with this homeless person on the street and the joy and just happiness he seemed to have, and you know, thinking, wow, how easily could that be anyone? Like, I don't think this guy's intentions, at least in his, you know, sir, what do you want to do one day? Well, I hope I'm living my life out on the street of Chicago. I don't think most people, that's in their cards of things they would choose to do. Doesn't mean they don't end up there due to their own decisions or decisions maybe out of their control for that matter. But I don't think anyone's like, I want to live on the streets.
I don't think anyone plans on saying, when is your next plan to be sick? Do you have a scheduled day yet?
I don't think so. You know? Well, I like to sometimes, if I don't want to do something, I'll schedule in COVID. Just like a free 5-day vacation.
You know, you don't. We do plan our vacations, but we don't plan our bad weeks.
No, we don't.
You know,
and no, people do not plan.
Yeah, and it's
obviously
and
be sick.
And it's one of those things that, but we've all had them. We all have them. We're gonna have them. When we have them, we need help. We need the people around us to circle up. That's when you need a friend to be of support and to help you with what's lacking, right?
I actually heard this on a podcast when you say friend, and I kind of like this. He said, you know, we've all got friends who are, you know, there in the good times, everything. Oh, yeah, let's all celebrate. But then, you know, when things aren't so good, I feel like maybe you've got one or two, what he called more, you know, for men brothers or for women sisters that are really there to actually pick you up off the mat, per se. And I think that's much more of a way to look at friends or casual acquaintances and relationships that everybody wants to celebrate you with when you're up, right? But how many people want to stay with you when you're not?
Yeah, especially when it's not popular, you've done something stupid.
Sure. Or maybe you haven't even done something stupid. Maybe you've spoken an unpopular truth.
Now that's easy to do today.
Yeah, well, and a lot of people, you just may rub them the wrong way, or they don't want to associate with that because, you know, well, if you associate with this person, you might think that exact same thing. And my goodness, you're the worst person ever. So people, they run because they don't want to be associated with out of the in crowd, right?
We talked about last week about you know, avalanches and that single snowflake can be the difference in the avalanche. And, you know, it's as you think about with God and how he deals with us, do you want to be swept away by an avalanche of love or hate? Do you want to be washed away, flooded with a flood of love or hate? Do you want to be your whole world turned upside down by an earthquake of love or hate? Back to what we just said a minute ago, the whole boomerang thing is that in the end, what you give does come back to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're kind to people, people reflect that back. When you're rude, people reflect that back, whether we're talking strangers or people in your own household. And I think, you know, the whole thing back to dating, never stop dating each other, never stop investing in each other, but never stop being compassionate either. You know, when you were dating Brittany, I'm sure there were some qualities that you learned that you loved. And there were some qualities that she had that you didn't love so much. But you still chose her.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Because I love her.
Because you love her. Right? All of her. And she did the same for you. She did the very same for you. And
she's a bad judge of character.
Isn't it a shame when we hyper-focus on the qualities that have always been there that we let irk us, and they blind us from the qualities that we fell in love with.
Yep. When it's back to those little things
make a huge difference.
That make a huge difference. And there was a verse you gave me earlier I really liked, and how'd it go? Something along the lines of, even to the faithless, he is still faithful.
Yeah,
is that right?
I can't remember the book, chapter, verse, but even when we are faithless, you know, we fail to believe God, he's still faithful.
And that's exactly right. And even, like I said, with our spiritual walk and relationship with God, even the times in which we lack compassion to others and we fall short, he still never falls short with us. It's kind of a cool concept to try and mimic, per se. We're obviously not going to be perfect at it because we're not perfect beings, but to kind of try to stride for that, of even when people fall short with you, you don't always have to fall short with them.
Well, I mean, gosh, God, I can't imagine being in his shoes because I don't know the single person, and I'll just pick on me. I know that I have taken advantage of the goodness of God. I have made withdrawals more than I've made deposits. And yet I always find that every time I come to the account, he has more to give. We want to give ourselves an excuse because there's a person in our life who's doing to us the very thing that we do to God every day.
Mm.
Isn't that something? Because we're playing the game of their breath stinks worse than mine. Mm, we're trying to keep score. When God, does God keep score with us? And that's, man, come on now. If God's not going to keep score with you, why are you keeping score with others?
That's true. Doesn't mean that he doesn't right wrongs.
But oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I don't think he's given us a, well, you did 1,872 good deeds.
Right.
And 2,791 right. ill deeds.
Right. We're not in the seesaw trying to balance things out, but we are all in a relationship that we chose to be in, whether we're talking about with God or each other. And the command is to love. Frankly, we all want to be loved. And if we'll love, again, boomerang, it comes back.
It does come back.
And it brings out the best in all of us.
As always, this has been Blindly Obvious. If we can see it, you can see it too. You can visit our website at www.blindlyobvious.com, where you can catch up on past episodes as well as learn a little bit about us. We are so happy that you're here and hope these are just the conversations you've been looking for. Peace, love, and God bless. If you like what you've heard, please subscribe and share the word. And remember, eyes mean nothing if the mind is blind.
It's Blindly Obvious, baby.